All right, when we start out with the data for correlation, two quantitative variables, we put them into a scatter plot. We have talked about a couple of things that we tend not to do, sometimes to our detriment. We tend to not check if our sample matches the target population univariate statistics. We tend to not check if our random assignment gave us initial equivalence, and we tend to not look at scatter plots before we run correlations. Now, on the one hand, it's perfectly reasonable. We were doing an analysis yesterday. We were looking at a correlation matrix that was, let's lie only a little bit, 10 by 10. That's 45 independent correlations, and I will be honest, I did not dig through all 45 of the contingency tables. But it's because I have looked at those same 45 contingency tables on and off for the last 25 years. I know which ones I'm afraid of for their nonlinearity and which ones I really expect will be linear. And you too can build up a history with your variables and their bivariate relationships over time. But to get started, take a second, crank out the scatter plot and look at it. There will be surprises. And there will be surprises on variables that everybody else uses a correlation. And that's one of the reasons that we want to get good at these models so we can build on them and learn the fancier, schmancier, cooler stuff. When we look at a scatter plot, because I want you to look at scatter plots at least once in a while, the first thing we want to decide if they're linear or nonlinear. The reason we want to make that decision is because we're probably going to use the scatter plot and then go do a correlation. And we know that correlations are for linear relationships between two quantitative variables. So that's what we're mostly checking for is linearity. Do we have something that looks more like one of these or something that has a hook in it? If it's got much of a hook in it, then correlation is not your best friend. We'll keep talking about why. Later, we will show you other models that you can use when you do have a hook like this. The hook does not mean run screaming. It just means run screaming from Pearson's correlation. If we have a linear relationship, like the green one and the orange one, the next thing we want to figure out is whether it's positive or negative. Do higher scores go with higher scores and lower scores go with lower scores? Or do higher scores go with lower scores and lower with higher? That's positive and negative. You know that one. Also, we want to think about the strength. The upper right in green is pretty strong. The bottom one in orange is pretty weak. Here's an important thing. When is it? Probably Wednesday. We're going to use the phrase small, medium, and large effect size. And we're going to use the magic attributions given to us by Jacob Cohen, rest his soul, that a 0.1 is a small, a 0.3 is a medium, and a 0.5 is a large. And we'll use that standard as if it were really forever. But you got to know that, like other things, your research community has that standard. What's small, medium, and large? I do stuff all the time where if I get a correlation of 0.05, not a p-value, a correlation of 0.05 and it replicates, I cling lovingly to that variable because it may tell me something that I'm not getting anywhere else. Especially if it's cheap and plentiful and gives me that little bit of a nudge. Other areas that I work, I see a correlation less than 0.7 and it means something has gone horribly. Because we're supposed to be in a highly controlled, strongly manipulated world, an experimental laboratory world, and all I can do is account for half of the variance, I boogered up somewhere. So it's this massive sliding scale to what is small, medium, and large, strong, moderate, and weak across research areas. Just want to warm you up for that. Sometimes the scatter plot will only show the envelope. This is no relationship. This would be a weak positive relationship, a really strong negative relationship, and a moderate positive relationship. Oh, look, I knew. Pearson's correlation summarizes the direction and strength of the linear relationship. Linear. Linear, 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 linear. R assumes that the relationship is linear, but R by itself doesn't give you any way of knowing whether it's linear or not. It just says, since we're all assuming we're friends here, and there's a linear relationship, here's how strong it is in the direction. We have two kinds of nonlinearities that we care about. This, which is a substantial nonlinear relationship, or you could think of this as a combination of a linear and a nonlinear. and that which is a much stronger nonlinear relationship. The point is that correlation is not doing what it's supposed to be doing if we ask it to do something it shouldn't. For example, for a nonlinear relationship like this, what the correlation does, in effect, is round out the envelope and tell you the R for the envelope. Now that orange circle isn't really a good description of those purple dots, but that's what you're going to get back. And so the linear correlation is going to be an underestimate of the whole correlation, the whole relationship. There's a pretty strong relationship here. Especially if you're here in low values, there's not much range of y for a given value of x. You're going to predict okay out here. You're going to do okay over here too. You're going to be a little fussy here. But a different picture than you get from this. And if you have a nonlinear relationship only, with no linear component where it tilts one way or the other, you're going to get back an R of 0. And there's a big difference between no linear relationship and no relationship at all. But the correlation doesn't tell you, and that's why it's important to look at scatter plots. Yeah. Welcome.